younger Ryan was the knowledge of what Harvey was about to do. Despite the location being different, despite the circumstances in this Matt Trans-induced dream being reconfigured from the fragments Ryan held in his adult memory, the outcome was going to be exactly the same. Harvey leered confidently down at his younger sibling.
End of the road, you little bastard.
Go ahead. Do it, you fat butcher.
The blade came up, then down. The needle point directed at Ryan's left eye. It was the last thing the eye ever saw. After the eye burst and the boy felt wet blood and fluid run down his cheek, Harvey pulled the blade free and went for the other side of Ryan's face, trying to blind him, but instead plunging into his right cheek and cutting down, peeling back the flesh from the bone and causing a jet of blue blood to spray outward, joining the other torrent from the ruined eye. Blinded by blue, the sound was horrible and exposed, revealing to his corrupt brother just how much the injury and the betrayal had cost in both body and still maturing soul. He screamed again in agony, hoping the pain might stop, but knowing despite his efforts, the scars would remain with him to his dying day. Christy was dreaming. She was singing a pre-dark country tune in a dump of a jolt and alcohol bar made of dirty tar paper and aluminum siding on the outskirts of the tiny ville known as Hazelwood, 50 or so miles outside of Harmony. Hazel was the kind of place a man loyal to his wife and family traveled to if he wanted an anonymous night out with the boys or the girls, no questions asked. The song was a classic about cheating hearts and being weak, and she sang it well, but the watchers in the smoky audience, sipping at their watery drinks, weren't there for the music. They were there to ogle Christy. Her current attire left nothing to the imagination. She was completely nude from neck to knees. The only articles of clothing on her voluptuous body were a silly-looking shiny white cowboy hat with a silver starburst pinned to the wide white brim, perched precariously on top of her crimson hair, and her well-worn blue cowboy boots with the chiseled silver points on the toes and the silver spread-wing falcons on the front.
Shake it, honey! Show us you mean it!
Christy ignored the man's comment and kept singing, holding the old-style microphone to her lips in both hands. Vocals and music both came from a few old black box amplifiers, powered by a portable gasoline generator that chugged contentedly to itself outside the bar. Why she was singing this particular song, one her Uncle Tyus had a particular fondness for, made perfect sense to her. She knew all the lyrics and had always enjoyed the tune. Why she was nude was another matter entirely, and as she finished the last verse of the Brian Patton classic, she decided she'd better get around to investigating her current situation.
I never knew you had such a pretty voice.
I never knew you played guitar.
I'll let you in on a secret. I don't.
Ryan gave her a saucy wink with his right blue eye. Things were getting so silly, Christy decided to play along for a moment.
Mind telling me what happened to my clothes?
You'll get them back after the last song set. Until then, you might as well go ahead and get busy. There's at least 30 guys in here waiting for a chance to hump you blue. After I have my turn.
The boldness of this statement caught Christy by surprise.
Well, they're in for a trip a long wait. And so are you, asshole.
You gonna let her get away with talking to you like that? Mildred tries giving me shit, and I shut her up quick.
How so?
JB grinned and licked his lips.
I give her a mouthful.
Ryan, who was not Ryan, she knew that now, turned back to face Christy.
How's that sound, you curvy piece of ass? You hungry?
He patted his crotch.
Got something for you before you open up that pretty mouth to sing us another tune.
Angry, her face flushing as red as her now undulating hair, Christy gave a series of retorts about what he could do with his manhood. After she'd run out of suggestions, the raven-haired man stood, still smiling, but the single eye narrowed, and the long scar down the other side of his face pulsed with pent-up fury. Christy Roth was so nonplussed by what happened next that she stood perfectly still and slack-jawed and allowed it to occur without protest. Ryan caught her, drew back his right arm, and slapped her. Her head snapped back, pulling her neck taut as she staggered, her boot heels leaving the ground as she fell off the slight incline of the elevated stage, falling bare-assed onto the grid of the earthen floor of the bar. Christy struggled to get to her feet, but her progress was halted by the man who appeared to be her lover as he leapt from the stage and landed on top of her, pinning her arms to the ground up over her head. Ryan, who was not Ryan, leaned in close, and she could smell the stink of his breath, a mix of gasoline and motor oil. A long tongue slithered out of his mouth, and he licked her from cheek to forehead.
Damn, you taste good.
Pulling one of her arms free, Christy went for the nearest part of her attacker's body with her fingers. As she tore at her tormentor's face, scratching long furrows into his cheeks with her fingernails, Christy was surprised at the absence of blood. One of her nails broke, splitting down to the soft underside, but she didn't even notice the pain as she continued to struggle, concentrating on ripping new gashes into the countenance of the man who'd willingly offered up his life to save her own countless times. She felt her heart stop as a glint of polished blue steel peeked out, shining from underneath the epidermal layer. Still no blood, only warm flesh that was starting to feel more and more like cold alien rubber, or even discarded chewing gum, as she continued to scrape at her attacker's face. The worn eye patch fell away, and behind it lurked not an empty eye socket, but a piercing narrow beam of blue light that started to grow in intensity even as she gaped in a mix of terror and curiosity. With a final effort of strength forced from her very soul, she pulled at the mask and tore away the outer shell. Court Strasser, a.k.a. Skullface, leaned over her, revealed before her disbelieving eyes.
No way.
Way.
And his face and his words were blue. Jack was dreaming. In his mind's eye, he was sleeping next to Christina, his wife, who in so many ways was as much a child as Jack Lorne himself, despite her being the older of the pair. In the adjoining room, Jenny, their little girl, also slept. The family of three was in a ranch house, a sprawling mass of clay and wood, located in the most desolate part of New Mexico the young man had been able to find. They were at peace, and until that moment, their night terrors had been held at bay. The following day, there was much to be done, including beginning a lengthy repair job on the ranch house roof. But after growing up in the swamplands of Louisiana, Jack was no stranger to hard work and hot sun. He'd given up wandering the Deathlands with Ryan Cotter to settle down in an attempt to have what might be called a normal life. Jack owed the one-eyed man his life and felt a strong loyalty to him, but he also knew if he were to find peace, he would have to abandon Ryan's companionship in exchange for love and family. Jack knew that would entail a struggle, for such peace was hard to find for people of his heritage and skin color. Jack was an albino, and albinos weren't normal, nor considered of a kind with man. Albinos were marked as mutants, and while the mutant breeds might eventually lay claim to the remains of the civilized world, Jack wanted no part of such a plan. Until Christina was stolen from his bed. Until Jenny was taken away. The unspoken message left in their stead was, no peace. In Jenny's small bunk bed were rose petals. In his own bed, ashes and dust. Jack crushed them together and rubbed them down both sides of his stark white face, streaking his cheeks with long, dusky lines of war paint, mixed with his own tears and sweat. The albino had grown up listening to late-night talk of magic among the oldies in his community, and had heard many tales of the avenging dead and the terrible price paid for want of retribution. Damn the price, he decided. The fury sang in Jack's blood. Such an affront was to invite his full vengeance, and as he suited up in the form-fitting lightweight battle armor he'd never worn before, advanced riot gear rescued from a locker deep underground in an already forgotten military redoubt, he knew it was only the beginning of a very long night. He chose to abandon his more familiar fighting tools, his leaf-bladed throwing knives, his mighty Colt Python, deciding instead to rely on his wits and fighting skills, and the mysterious rune-inscribed midnight blue blade he kept hidden from prying eyes. Christina had thought him silly for hanging on to the oversized weapon, which dated back thousands of pre-dark years.
You're too small a man, Jack, to hoist such a blade.
She was unable to lift it herself using both hands. It fell to the well-worn boards of the front porch of their home.
You say I'm small?
He reached down and easily retrieved the weapon.
No, you're plenty big enough for me.
Hate people call me small.
He wiped away the stray particles of grit that had adhered to the